Previously on Compassion Radio.
I'm the only Christian in the mental health department, but I'm getting a lot of opportunities to share the gospel and to point people toward Christ because there's a lot of spiritual warfare there that is very real to these inmates.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Taking the liberating power of God's good news and His compassionate heart to the four corners of the globe. This is the radio journal that tells of the new ways it's happening. We're so glad you joined us today on Compassion Radio. Married couples working together in ministry. It's a dynamic thing to see. Norm and Cher Nelson were quite the unstoppable dynamic duo. And our own Bram and Sandy Floria are actively taking up that mantle. Well, you can add today's very special guest to that list as well. Hope you can stick with us for the next 25 minutes on today's Compassion Radio on this September 11th, Patriot Day, here in the U.S. Here's Bram to make introductions.
Friends, we're here together in the prayer chapel at this beautiful resort on the top of a mountain in the middle of the Czech Republic. And this little town of Malinovice is a hamlet in the mountains next to a ski run. It's a place you would expect to go to have a great relaxing time with your family or a vacation, winter or summer. Perfect place for a ministry to really love on their own missionaries and restore them, get them ready for the mission field. And to send them back out full of joy. And some of the people who helped make that happen are sitting with us in this room right now. So with Sandy and I in this room are Sarah and Brett Bertrand. And they're from the States. They're stationed in the Wheaton, Illinois area. But you're also an integral part of the ministry and the personality of Josiah Ventures. So, Sarah, Brett, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Now, we were talking about this a few minutes ago. You're kind of a mixed marriage. In other words, you are partially in ministry, partially out of ministry, but not really. You both have very distinct ministries in complement of each other. But one of you thinks missionally all day long because Sarah is the HR director for Josiah Venture.
HR, I'm not the director. Teresa Kearns is the director, but I get to be a coordinator with HR.
Yeah. And you're coordinating a lot more people now. I saw hundreds of people in the group shot today, and this is just the second culture people that are part of the ministry now. Mm-hmm. So how large of a group does Josiah Venture manage now?
So if you think of it in terms of just units, whether it's a single or a family, we're close to just over 100 of the second culture North Americans. And then if you add all the nationals, that could double that. And then with the kids, then you got even about another 100 more. So it's...
And this is very rapid growth as well because of the opportunities and needs. How fast has it grown in the past few years?
When I started with Josiah Venture 15 years ago, we were probably at about 27. And so
total.
Yeah.
And that's so exponential.
Yeah. So it has been a significant amount of expansion in countries and team building and especially with the nationals for sure.
I'm going to ask you about why that happened here in a minute, but I want to get Brett in the conversation first of all. Now, Brett, you love these people. I can tell you know all of them by heart and by name, but you don't work in the ministry or internationally. You work in a very different but crucially important ministry in the States back home. What do you do?
I work at Maximum Security Prison, about 86 miles south of Chicago.
So in the prison, what do you do?
My role there is I'm a mental health counselor. So I do a lot of one-on-ones with inmates. I have a caseload of over 200 inmates respond to crisis. Primarily, I fill out mental health evaluations with the inmates.
Not a place that many Christian counselors would find themselves these days, I would imagine.
No, a common response after I talk about my job a little bit is for people to say, wow, I could never do that. And so what I want people to know is my calling isn't to work in a prison. My calling is to make disciples. And the context that I do that in is just happens to be at a prison at this season in my life. And Sarah's context for her ministry is in the HR department with Josiah Venture.
So you're both missional in the work mm-hmm. that you do, and you have an opportunity that's unique, each of you. Mm-hmm. Now, Josiah Venture has a unique opportunity because suddenly, after all of the seed planting and hard plowing mm-hmm. over the past 20 or 30 years since the fall of communism in Eastern Europe, suddenly has an awakening. A fresh field is ready for you to plant seed and grow new fruit. A whole generation is discovering Jesus now because of the work you're doing. And in your case, Brett, in the prison, is it still the beginnings of a ministry that might produce fruit, or is there something happening there that's really unique?
Well, I'm just kind of entering the work there. I'm the only Christian in the mental health department, and I'm not sure, having only been there 3 months, I'm not sure what God has done up until this point, but I'm getting a lot of opportunities to share the gospel and to point people toward Christ, and specifically because there's a lot of spiritual warfare there that is very real to these inmates. Mm-hmm. They see things in their cells, dark shadows that some of them believe are demons. Mm-hmm. Some of them are hearing things. And so they're kind of on the front lines of experiencing spiritual warfare that we only hear about. So I'm able to enter their situations with the light of Christ and the truth of the gospel that can set them free to what they're experiencing.
So nothing that you experience in dealing with them would be clear cut between a medical issue or a spiritual issue. As you're seeing it, there's a big overlap in those kind of issues for inmates.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing spiritual warfare. Now, I imagine the two of you then, when you come home at the end of the day, talk about the ways that spiritual warfare manifested mm-hmm. itself. Are you seeing common themes coming out in this generation that you are fighting on different fronts?
I think the common theme that comes up is that Satan is the father of lies. Hmm. And whether it's a lie that an inmate who has murdered or raped or been involved with drugs or whatever, a lie is something that Satan just wants to captivate them and cause them to feel defeated and shamed, and just that becomes their identity. And then you come into youth work in former communist countries, and it might not be that they're rapists or murderers or drug dealers, but it's still a lie of what they're believing in their schools, or that they came from a broken home and they're just going to repeat the same, you know, generational sin. And I think it's just more than ever do I see that Satan is the father of lies.
So self-image comes into play in
yes.
both instances.
Right, right. And trying to figure out who, even instilling hope in them of who they could be in Christ. Like, do they even have the, like, am I even worthy of a new identity?
Mm-hmm. So what is the identity that these people are hungry for? Hmm. Young person yeah. in a secular high school environment in Eastern Europe, a convicted felon who may never see the light of day again. Mm-hmm. What are they hungering for?
In my context, for sure, is there's a lot of fatherhood issues. Hmm. And, you know, one gentleman just in recent days told me, I'm angry every day. And I said, what are you angry at? And he said, my father. And come to find out, it's been over 35 years since he's seen his dad, since he was 5 years old. And so he's struggling to find out who he is. And fatherhood issues come up a lot in my context. And so they're eager, as I talk about the truth and talk about God as our Father, that potentially could be them, but it's new information for them that they're drawn into and still kind of processing, what does that mean for me if I turn my life over to Christ? It means I might have to get out of the gang. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of, they call it laying down your flag when you get out of a gang. And it's a very serious thing for them, and it's a high cost. And so it's a lot for them to think about.
Mm-hmm. Do they struggle with the concept of father when you talk about God as their father?
They do, because whether it's their father or their father figure, a lot of times they'll take what they know about their earthly father role model and place that on God. And so I'm at the beginning stages of trying to strip away who they believe their father God could be compared to what they know an earthly father is. A big, big, big gap.
Mm-hmm. You were talking, Sarah, about the father of lies at the head of all this font of falsehood. Mm-hmm. The projection then of this false image or this lie about what a father is, and then projecting that lie onto God himself. Mm-hmm. Is that the way that you're seeing Satan trying to obfuscate the real love and acceptance and identity that God wants to offer.
For sure. And I think a lot of the kids, the youth, they come from broken homes. So even feeling like they have a place in a family is like almost too good to be true, you know, that it could be a cohesive family and that it's not a broken family or an alcoholic father, or that it's almost like this dream, you know, that they think about other, could be for another person, but could that actually be for me?
So it's similar issues.
It is. It really is. It is. In very different venues.
So it's interesting to see how the enemy uses the same technique.
Yes.
In different situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Impacting the world for the gospel of Christ, isn't that what we're all aiming to do? We'll get right back to today's program in just a moment. You know, friend, one easy way you can make an impact on the world this month is by supporting our Bibles for Slovenia project. And know the thrill of placing a Bible into the hands of a Slovene new believer. For your gift this month of $24 or more, we'd be delighted to send you a very special premium in the form of a dual language Bible. And prayerfully consider joining our vision team with your consistent monthly gift to help keep Compassion Radio on the air on this radio station you're now listening to. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online anytime, day or night, at CompassionRadio.com. Let's go ahead and get you back now to today's program.
So since you have complementary ministries, mm-hmm. and you have obviously a complementary marriage, you work together as a team, mm-hmm. in all the ways that God has you working together. How do you advise each other? What kind of input does each of you have in each other's life and ministry that makes a difference day to day in what you do?
Mm-hmm. Did you want to go?
Well, sure. I think a lot of what I learn at these conferences when I come over and from the DNA that JV has, it takes the truth of God's word and helps us to apply it in our everyday lives. So although I'm not employed by JV, I'm very much a part of their ministry and how they think. And it goes back to the truth of God's word, just applied in a different context. And so the truth is very central to what we do and to our household.
Mm-hmm. And I think for Brett and I, we both enjoy, and I think, just having the gift of encouragement. And so I feel that in my role with HR and Brett's role at the prison, that in a very real way, he's needing to encourage these inmates. I mean, they're desperate. And so as we encourage each other in the sphere of influence that we have, it kind of gears us up and gets us ready for a new day, you know, of just, I've never seen Brett be able to really fly as much as he has with his sphere of influence and his gifting at the prison, which I never would have dreamed of when he went back to school to get a degree in that. So, and I look forward to continuing to use my gift with JV, as I don't see it coming to an end anytime soon.
Brett, how long have you been in that job at the prison?
Just between 3 and 4 months now. So I'm just at the beginning of seeing what God is doing with such a large caseload. Unfortunately, I'm only on my first round of meeting with inmates. And so to come back around and to see how they process and what they've done with the truth and the things that we've talked about our first session.
So it sounds like you're pretty free to speak the truth to them and share the gospel.
During the mental health evaluation, you talk about very real and deep things. Have you ever been physically or sexually abused? Has anybody in your family ever attempted or completed suicide? You know, who raised you and what's your relationship like with them now? I do, once I feel that there's that rapport and I have that platform, to ask, is spirituality, meditation, prayer, God, a category in your life where you get encouragement or hope from? And I leave it general for a reason, and that really opens up the box, because a lot of them will say yes. And then I'll ask them, what does that mean to you? And so then we're off and running in the conversation that they've invited me into.
It seems, in my experience over many years of different kinds of mission work, that people aren't one to Christ by arguments. Mm-hmm. They're one to relationship by questions. Mm-hmm. You suss out the things that are motivating them, the deepest felt needs they have, and you introduce them to somebody who loves you. Mm-hmm. And that real love they see in you is something that they start hungering for. And in the context that you're both in, you said basically you have a world that's devoid of real fathers. Mm-hmm. And it's going to remain that way unless God does something. Mm-hmm. Namely, change men especially to become the kind of fathers that will be transformational and redeem their families. And then through the family, redeem the communities mm-hmm. and countries. And Josiah Venture is really at the leading wave of transforming expectations of young people for who they can become, mm-hmm. what their societies can become, what it's like to discover your own identity as a nation after being under a brutal father for so many decades. So I see some real trends here that God's going to be playing out of this century. And it seems to me that Josiah Venture is in a pretty pivotal place in this continent. And it seems to me, as sad as it is, that prisons mm-hmm. are that place in our continent. Since we have so many more incarcerated than we in any other country on the planet, mm-hmm. which bothers me deeply that we have that issue that so many young men especially are locked away and deemed unacceptable and unredeemable. I pray for a change in that. I pray for a change in our own expectations of our own young men for what will be the future of our nation. But beyond even my hopes for my country, you folks are working in a kingdom together. And we're seeing all of these missionaries being trained together to become kingdom ambassadors and princes, to take up residence in all these countries and be ambassadors for a truly alive kingdom with a great father, a great God, a great and powerful king, and bringing that universal truth to every cultural context they find themselves in. Mm-hmm. And there are dozens of countries now you're operating in. That gives me great hope. I would love for the two of you just to speak to what you're seeing in the young people that you're working with and what your hopes and dreams are for the future as God's revealing them to you in the way that you are now mentoring young people, or in your case, Brett, maybe even people who are your peers or would be your same age, but are really just babes in arms when it comes to discovering their identity and possibly mm-hmm. in Christ. Mm-hmm. What are your dreams? What is God laying on your heart that you're passionate about for the people that you're ministering to?
I'm passionate, and I include in my communication to the inmates that although you've been a victim in many cases, a lot of trauma in these inmates' lives, that they're repeating that cycle, that although your dad didn't measure up, that no earthly father can really measure up, and that as you channel Father God's love and resources into your life, you don't have to repeat the cycle. It's not too late for you to do better with the next generation.
With my role with the HR, I'm maybe one person removed from the actual youth. Mm-hmm. But my dream, and I think all of us, is just to see how can we have greater capacity as JV wants to utilize the tools and kind of the discipleship birthing of young Josiahs. So to be able to say that the youth now that are growing up, they don't know what it's like to be raised under communism because they weren't. So there's almost softer soil because there's not that layer of the communist regime. And yet there's also the influence of the West, you know, that comes in, which I don't know, maybe that could be harder. So I think just being able to see how do we best resource and be more efficient to handle, hopefully, this multiplication of what we've been praying for and what we've seen just even within 15 years. So that excites me when we see our orientations growing and our camps growing and our intern teams having bigger numbers. And it's not just about the numbers, but there's millions of youth. So
but that's
we do
a good
need
sign of
absolutely,
effectiveness.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So you would manage the direct needs and issues of the body that's bringing this message to Europe now. And that's going from hundreds to possibly 1,000 within the next 10 years.
I know. It's so amazing.
Who are in turn shepherding hundreds and thousands
right.
of these. So it'll be at the point pretty soon where millions a year are being reached in some capacity, having an encounter with the gospel because of the team that you're helping to manage. Mm-hmm. That's marvelous.
It's amazing.
And
it's a little
exciting.
Overwhelming to think
yeah.
about, right?
But God has prepared you for this day.
Yes.
And that's marvelous too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brett, at the end of the day, your wife looks to you for husbandly leadership and encouragement, and you are pouring your heart out about the people that you're learning to love, and you're saying you're just 3 months into this thing. So the squeak is still in your sneakers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you haven't had a chance to really wear things down and get nitty and gritty with these guys. The wall is coming, I'm sure of that, with the emotional weight of all the things you see repeating in life after life after life. It's going to come to you, I'm sure of that. But I also know that you have a great support in your wife, and that she understands too that when that weight comes, that there is a way to lift that load. And we even heard that today as Dave Patty was talking about what it means to be in ministry. It's not just about standing with dead weight.
Yeah.
It's about learning how to move with what you have and transfer those things to others who can help you. Mm-hmm. And discovering that the shepherd is also a very strong shepherd. Mm-hmm. That he leads us, but he lifts us at the same time. All kinds of spiritual realities play themselves out in the work that you both do. Mm-hmm. So if in your context, you're seeing the worst of humanity, mm-hmm. and what happens when people turn away from God, mm-hmm. and the negative fruit of that, you're also gaining hope for what can happen, even for those who are throwaways, for what they can become. So if you were speaking to those who are looking at the possibility of doing ministry in their own hometown, maybe someone in the family is more inclined towards missions, mm-hmm. and they would love to do something like that, like you're doing, Sarah, and maybe someone else in the family is more inclined to helps and counseling or other pastoral work, and they don't want to go anywhere, they want to be in their community, but there might be kind of a tension in their own families about the things that they feel God's calling them to do. You're living with a very lively tension that seems very positive. Mm-hmm. What would you say to people throughout the world who have that kind of mix of passions in their own marriages, their own homes?
Often I say, bloom where you're planted. Mm-hmm. And some people think, gosh, if I was in a different vocation or a different ministry, then I could really pick up some speed. Mm. And I would say, be faithful where you're at. God moves, he steers a moving vehicle. So continue to move forward in faithfulness right where he has you. And maybe in time, doors will open up, or maybe you'll just get really passionate and excited and see things that you haven't seen in your present context.
I imagine that this present context for you is gonna multiply over the years to come. As you start looking around these countries you're sitting in now and say, what's happening in the prison populations here? Because pretty mm-hmm. soon you're going to be an expert on these issues within that context. So I can't imagine that Josiah Venture would not capitalize on your knowledge and wisdom and find ways to be reaching out in these countries where they work here with that kind of missional and functional and occupational knowledge and wisdom. I mean, I can see it coming for you. Mm-hmm. They may have to share you a little bit with people in yeah. other ministries here.
Yeah.
Friends, we're going to carry this over to another program tomorrow because I want to ask some more questions about what it's like to be mentors to other young people throughout this organization and how God has provided for Sarah and Brett through their respective vocations, whether in ministry or in working through the state agencies that Brett serves in, which turns out to be a real mission field. We've had a good time talking about that. We'll talk some more about that on tomorrow's program.
And that wraps up part one of Bram and Sandy's two-part interview with an absolutely delightful couple, Sarah and Brett Bertrand of the Intrepid Ministry, Josiah Venture. They are truly on fire for the Lord, and we are so glad that they were able to take the time to share with us on today's program. In the middle of the Czech Republic, wow, we'll jump back into the conversation on tomorrow's program. Friends, we have a brand new Bible project for this month of September that we are really excited about. This year, Josiah Venture will release a brand new dual language Bible in the Slovene language. It's the first new edition of God's Word available in decades for this language group. A new student revival is beginning to break loose right now, and Bibles are desperately needed. They are planning a first printing of 2,000 dual-language Bibles, and they can do it for only $4 a copy. Will you help us help Josiah Venture bring the Word of God to a new generation of believers in Slovenia? With your gift today, we can do it. Let's see how many of these new Bibles we can put in the hands of new believers this fall. Perhaps you can send a Bible. Perhaps you can send 100. Perhaps you'd like to fund the entire first printing. For your above and beyond giving this month to our Bibles for Slovenia project, and when you request it, we have a truly unique dual language Bible. We have one of these beautifully printed Bibles on our studio desk, and it reminds us here at Compassion Radio to pray for our Josiah Venture friends and the thousands of young Josiahs they are discipling throughout Europe. This is a marvelous and very personal special premium. Ask for yours today with your gift to this project of $24 or more. And please remember that we don't do what we do without you. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online 24/7 at our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we look forward to being with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.